Sometimes a thick line is drawn between conventional medicines and natural remedies, but the truth is that most modern-day medications were developed from age-old herbal preparations to begin with. And those more natural treatments can be both very effective and easier on our bodies, and we'll find out today, great for our pets as well. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today is Dr. Carrie Donahue. She is the owner and founder of, let me get this right, Full Circle Veterinary Clinic. She's a graduate of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine, been a guest on this show many a time. Her website, which I'm sure have a link to on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, Carl's saying, oh, you bet. But just to give it to you, it's fullcirclepet.com. That's fullcirclepet.com. Our guest today, she uses a range of alternative therapies to complement her traditional veterinary medical training, and certainly uses traditional methods as well. Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Well, since we last saw you, you won the Best of Madison for 2014 in the veterinarian category. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. What a truly an honor, and what a surprise. It was, yeah, just a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Oh, I it's well deserved.
So. Oh, thank you.
Well, you practice both conventional veterinary medicine and holistic care, which brings us a lot of alternatives. Mm-hmm. Why are both types of care important to you?
Well, boy, you know, I started off when I was practicing veterinary medicine when I first graduated, and I was doing strictly conventional. And that was good to get a basis for me in the conventional medicine and learning how different diseases are treated and how they have been treated. But I really found that there were things that were lacking, and I always had an interest in alternative medicine, such as acupuncture and herbal medicine. Yeah. And so I started looking into training for that, and there are programs for veterinarians to be trained in acupuncture, to be trained in traditional Chinese medicine, to be trained in herbal medicine, homeopathy. And the more I looked into some of these programs, the more interested I was, and the more I saw how much they can really help animals heal themselves naturally without the use of some of the harsh pharmaceuticals that tend to be given out maybe a little bit too often in conventional medicine. So it's really nice to have choices and to offer my clients and my patients choices on treatments for certain diseases or illnesses.
And certainly there are some conventional treatments that most pets are going to probably need at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you have great natural alternatives to share. One is parasite prevention, I thought was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. So that's a big one coming up. Now, I get a lot of people coming in asking me, what are the natural alternatives to flea and tick preventatives? And now the season is coming up, so we're going to be faced with the fleas, and especially the ticks. I don't know what the season is going to be like this year, but last year was pretty tough. So, yes, there are definitely alternatives out there to the conventional topical treatments, such as Frontline or Advantix or Vectra. And what I've really found in my practice is that every animal is so individual. Some dogs just tend to get ticks. Some dogs tend to get fleas. Some cats do. And so you really kind of have to see what's going to work the best for your pet. And I usually recommend that people start out trying a natural alternative. And a lot of them that are out there are essential oil-based. And one of them that I use in my practice is a cedar oil-based spray, and that's by a company called Wonderside, and it works very well. I've used it for the last couple of years. The difference with some of the natural alternatives is that it's not a once-a-month application and where it stays in the system and it prevents your pet from getting fleas and ticks for that entire month. It's something that you need to do probably every other day or a couple times a week, and definitely any time that you're going out into like a heavily tick infested area, or if you know that, you know, you might have fleas in your yard, you need to use some of these things more often.
Okay.
And a lot of people too will kind of use the chemical treatments as needed or as minimally as they're able to, and then kind of augment that with the natural treatments as well to stretch out the amount of time that they have to use the chemical treatments and use them only when it's really bad out there and their dog is really getting a lot of the ticks or fleas.
Well, you have a presentation coming up, which I think is kind of cool.
Oh, yes.
Bad Dog Frida.
Yes, this coming Monday night at 6:30.
And it's and what are you going to talk about?
So, well, you know, kind of the same thing that I just started talking about right now. So natural alternatives to a lot of the preventatives out there. But the broad subject of the talk is going to be the immune system. So boosting the immune system and different things that you can do to make sure that your pet is starting out with a strong immune system so it can prevent diseases from even starting in the first place, and just having a good basis for health is everything.
And Bad Dog Frida is located where?
They are located on Atwood Avenue, and they are really just a block down from my clinic on Atwood Avenue, close to the Barrymore Theater in Madison.
Yeah, so... And open to the public?
Or? It is open and it's free. So, yeah, I think you just have to go onto their website or call them or stop in and let them know that you are going to be coming because I think there is some limited seating, but yes.
Bad Dog Frida, the name of the place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I know, and they're a wonderful pet store, and we have some wonderful resources here in Madison as far as natural pet stores, and they carry a lot of the same products that I use and recommend as well.
Tell us about boosting a pet's immune system.
So the immune system is really, I mean, it's the great protector of the body. And the immune system exists in every organ of the body, in the bloodstream. But 80% of the immune system resides in the GI tract. So really the basis for a healthy immune system is good nutrition. And that's number one for most of my clients that come in, you know, figuring out what they're eating and how we might be able to improve their nutrition and thereby improve their health just based on that. So good nutrition is number one for boosting the immune system. As natural and healthy of foods as possible. Fresh food whenever you can. Minimizing vaccines is another thing. I think a lot of pets tend to be over-vaccinated, so just making sure that you know what vaccines are being given to your pet and if they're necessary, and talking to your vet about what is the most necessary vaccines that you need to have. Minimizing chemicals and exposure to toxins, and that's going back into the flea and tick preventatives, so using those things, using pharmaceuticals as minimally as you can.
Our guest today, Dr. Kerry Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Great to have her along. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We always love to see photos of pets. So if you've got a question and or a photo of your cat or your dog or whatever, send that to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to see those as well. Pat in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I have two elderly dogs, and they have a problem with fatty tumors. And I'm wondering if there is any holistic care that that we could do to help them with that.
Boy, that's a great question. And that fatty tumors, they're also called lipomas, are one of those things that we tend to see in older dogs. You know, and there are a lot of theories out there why dogs develop these fatty tumors. Some people think, and I think there is some truth to this too, that it can be related to the diet and the food that they've been eating for a long time. And sometimes the body encapsulates the fat tissue, and it just tends to grow and grow and grow. I have not found, unfortunately, a natural treatment that resolves the fatty tumors. There are certain things that you can do. There are some Chinese herbal formulas that I will use that will help to shrink tumors in general sometimes, that they don't work 100% of the time. But typically, the fatty tumors tend to be benign. It's always good to get them checked out and have an aspirate done at your veterinarian to make sure that they are benign, just a fatty tumor. But a lot of times there is not a whole lot that you can do about them unless they're bothering your animal. Then it's, you know, it's a good idea to have them taken off.
There
well,
you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Alicia in Duluth, Minnesota, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, and good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
And Dr. Donahue, I have a senior bunny. She is about 11, and just within the last 10 days has lost the ability to use her hindquarters. It seemed to come on pretty fast. She's had an X-ray. There's nothing broken. It might be the spondylitis possibility. And I just wondered, other than keeping her very clean and dry, if you have had any experience with alternative treatments for bunnies when this happens.
Yeah.
Boy, probably my number one recommendation would be to seek out a veterinarian who does acupuncture. I've seen a lot of dogs. I haven't treated rabbits for this before, but that have lost the use of their hind legs, and it tends to be a neurological issue that sometimes can be helped by acupuncture. So maybe you could find somebody in your area that does that and give that a try. That would probably be my number one recommendation.
Mm.
Well, I appreciate that, and I will pursue that. And thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Grace in New Glarus, I appreciate your call. Hi.
Hi. How are you folks today?
Great.
So, Dr. Donahue, you mentioned using cedar oil for flea and tick prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have serious concerns about putting anything with cedar on any of my animals on a regular basis. And to let you know, I've been around veterinary medicine, worked in the field. I'm a wildlife epidemiologist.
Oh.
And a fair amount of work in toxicology, so mm-hmm. both natural toxins as well as all of the wonderful synthetic garbage we put into our environment that affects all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Cedar bedding, you know, has not been used in lab animal practices, in lab animal facilities, and has been greatly reduced in many pet beds, not used around horses anymore, because of the very strong links to tumors, particularly in dogs and rodents to mammary tumors. So I would be incredibly concerned about putting cedar oil on my animals on an ongoing basis. And many, many animals also have very bad reactions to cedar. I have a friend who has a couple of Boston terriers.
Mm.
And somebody gave her a couple of nice beds for her little boys. And both of them just started having horrendous dermatitis problems, constantly itching and scratching. She checked in the beds, found cedar in them, got rid of them. They cleared up within a couple of weeks without. And so these dogs were saved from being put on corticosteroids and all sorts of other stuff, and potentially from having mammary tumors, too.
Well, I'm going to give – thank you for calling, Grace. I want to give Dr. Donahue a chance to comment. Carrie, what do you think?
Yes. No, she brings up an excellent point. And the research that has been done on the cedar oil – now, the product that I use, Wonderside – uses a certain type of species of cedar, and you really do have to be careful. There are certain species of cedar trees that are not safe for pets, and especially for cats. The cedar oil that I use and the product that I recommend has been proven safe for cats, and definitely with any sort of especially an essential oil that you're going to be using, that you're going to be rubbing on your pet, you want it to be very dilute. You do not want to use any essential oil full strength on your pet. And the products that I use, you know, they have been diluted and they have been tested for safety, but always use anything with caution that you're putting on your pet. And what I usually recommend, too, is when you're using an essential oil, put some on your hands first and let your pet smell it. If they turn around and run away and they don't want anything to do with it, then don't put it on them. You know, so you really have to be cautious. There are other essential oils, too, that can be used as a natural flea and tick preventative, like lavender. Lavender is a very, very safe oil. And I still recommend diluting it, but that's one that works very well, preventing fleas, preventing ticks, and it also has antibacterial properties too, and can be used for any sort of skin conditions as well. So definitely use caution with any of these things. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for calling, Grace. Appreciate it. I was just on a lavender farm in Hawaii.
I
should have brought some oil home with me.
Boy.
I did not, but I should have. Vicki and Aliva, we'll get to you in just a minute. Just a reminder, our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're talking with Dr. Carrie Donahue about holistic health care and traditional health care for our pets. Looking forward to hearing from you. Vicki and Aliva up next. Vicki, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi. Our dog is recovering from pancreatitis, and she's on the science diet for 2 weeks, and then we're supposed to transform her over into another, other regular dog food. But I'd like to know what would be the best dog food and treats to give her when we have to make this transition.
Boy, that's a good question. And there are a lot of animals that I've seen recently that have been affected by pancreatitis. Do you know what happened in the first place that triggered
the... We're thinking that we gave her a lot of bones.
Mm.
And there was a lot of fat in there.
Yeah, that's what can do it. So she's on the prescription food right now, and you are wanting to transition her to a regular dog food. Would you ever consider cooking her food for her? Or making her own food?
Oh, well, my husband probably would do that.
Okay.
Yeah, what?
Well, there are some wonderful diets that you can do, and some great books that are out there that will give you recipes on how you can cook food for your pets, and especially for certain health conditions. Like pancreatitis, you really do have to be careful you have to be careful with the fat content, because anything that's too rich or too high in fat can trigger it all over again. So that's why I recommend, if you can cook for your pet at home, that might be a good way to go about even just transitioning her off of the prescription food while her body kind of heals up. So there is a great book that is called Home Prepared Dog and Cat Diets by Dr. Donald Strombeck, and that has some wonderful recipes for a variety of health conditions. It's called Home Prepared Dog and Cat Diets.
Dog and Cat Diets. We'll see if we can post that up on the Facebook.
Yeah, helpful book. Yeah, and it's got a lot of wonderful recipes in there that might give you some guidance on things that you can feed her as she recovers.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
How difficult is that? I mean, do you have to be cooking every day?
You don't have to be cooking every day. And that's the thing, is a lot of people, you think, oh boy, I just don't have the time to cook for my dog. And a lot of people actually don't, but it's easier than you think. And you can make meals once a week and then freeze them or refrigerate them, and then you will have them to feed your dog throughout the week. And even if you do a home-prepared meal a couple times a week and then you feed regular dog food the rest of the time, even that benefits them. So if you cook for yourself, it's not that much of a stretch to cook for your dog as well.
We'll post that up on my Facebook. Carl's already got it up there. Okay,
great.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. So just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and Carl has already put it up. And let's see. Joan emailed us, my friend has tried different cream to combat 18-month-old French bulldog hotspot-like compulsive scratching, to the point of patches of hair loss. At 3 months, the dog had a leg fracture and had to be set up with a pin. Sweet dog, only does tend to puppy bite with sharp needle teeth. Would dog benefit from homemade remedies like ground oatmeal paste applied on the skin?
Boy, at 18 months, to have the hot spots like that, I would... I talk so much about nutrition, and that would be something that I would look at, what the dog is eating, make sure that the dog is on a grain-free food and as natural as possible. A lot of the the wheat and the corn that tends to be in a lot of those commercial foods can trigger those hot spots and can cause those inflammatory reactions. Now, treating them, and I like the idea of the ground oatmeal paste, and that can be very, very soothing. If you have a hot spot, you can take some oatmeal and put it in even just a sock and soak it in water for an hour until it gets just kind of pasty, and apply that to the hot spot, and that can be very soothing. Another thing that I like to recommend are tea bags, and you can use black tea or green tea and steep the tea for a while and then apply that tea bag to the hot spot, and that can also really help take the itchiness and help with the inflammation as well.
I wonder if that really is. We had an email from Scott who was talking about his dog's mind of constantly licking the rough spot on his elbows. They wrap with a sock, but if he tries hard enough, he can lick the sock off and then lick the spots near till it bleeds.
Oh, no. You know, it's always a good idea, especially if your dog is licking at an area where a joint is, if he's licking at his elbow, to make sure you have that evaluated, maybe doing an x-ray or just taking your dog into the vet and having them kind of check everything out, because that's a common place where dogs will develop arthritis.
So
just making sure that he's not licking at it as a self-soothing behavior because it hurts. And dogs, yeah, they can tend to get that those rough patches on their elbows, and they can get dry and cracked. And a great thing to add into the diet and also apply topically is vitamin E oil. And you can get those little capsules and break them open and apply that to the skin, and also add that into the diet. So then that kind of works from the inside out to help moisturize the skin. So hopefully that might help.
Terry in Mineral Point, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Doctor, I've got a rescue dog about a year and a half ago. He's about two now. And he seems to be allergic to all of the flea and tick stuff that you can buy at the supermarket. I tried the collar, and I tried two different kinds of powder that I don't know what the chemicals were, but they were different. Mm-hmm. And each time, you know, he had conniptions.
Oh, no.
I mean, not actual fits, but he was very bothered by them and couldn't do anything else except roll around, try and get rid of them, try and pull the collar off and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I assume he's allergic to them. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, but are there any other types of remedies I could try? I caught a little bit of a call. Apparently somebody else called you about stuff like this. You mentioned lavender.
Mm-hmm.
I picked that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, and a lot of dogs, unfortunately, will have sort of an allergic or hypersensitivity reaction to some of those flea and tick medications, either that you buy at the supermarket that you can get over the counter. That's what I've seen dogs have the most reactions to, or even some of the ones that you have to get from a veterinarian. And it just depends on the dog. So I think if you can start to look into some of those natural alternatives, like the lavender, some other essential oils that you can use would be citronella, lemongrass, eucalyptus, and I would just start out very dilute, using a couple of drops and about 1 to 2 ounces of water, and you can make a spray out of that and spray your pet with it, or you can spray some on a bandana and put that bandana around their neck. And just being careful, because if your dog doesn't like the smell of it and they're stuck with this bandana around their neck, they're going to be pretty miserable too. So just make sure that they are okay with the smell first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure he'll let me know.
Yes, he will let you know.
Sure, let me know about the flea colander. Okay,
yeah.
So there's lavender and citronella.
And I would start out just one at a time, maybe trying just lavender first, a couple of drops of that.
Mm-hmm. Give it a try, Terry, and thanks. Lemon scent is one that I remember Patricia McConnell saying often dogs don't like this the citrus smell, so it may not work.
Yeah, I know. So always test it out with your pet and see first.
Leslie in Cottage Grove. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for the wonderful show. I wanted to make a comment. Somebody talked about their bunny earlier. regarding a hind leg issue.
Yeah.
I have a cat that is, what is Shadow now? She's 14 years old. And she turned up with an inability to operate her back legs one day. You know, she wasn't eating and moving around, and there was a mechanical problem there of some kind. So I took her to the vet, loved the vet, and she said, you know, there isn't anything I can do for her because it isn't chemical-based. It's a mechanical issue, and she suggested animal chiropractic. And I took Shadow to a holistic care center for animals that includes acupuncture and chiropractic as well. I'm familiar with chiropractic because I've been nursing a back issue for like my entire life since freshman year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was nigh on to miraculous. So whatever the issue was
very resolved.
Well addressed. Oh, my goodness. It was like laid hands on my animal and cured my animal.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful? So that is a testimonial to the power of holistic and natural medicine. Chiropractic, yes, definitely, definitely.
Good suggestion. Thank you, Leslie. Do you do that work?
I do not, no, but there are a number of vets in the area that do chiropractic.
Hmm. Mark in Fenimore, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Dr. Donahue, it's nice to be with you. I have to admit I'm a bit biased on this topic, but I'm curious how you feel about claims of colostrum use in across species, demonstrated to mobilize lymphocyte populations, increase circulating antibody and secretory as well, et cetera, cytokine ratio improvements.
And
do you think it has a place in veterinary medicine?
And what is the material or the substance?
Bovine colostrum.
Oh, bovine colostrum. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're smiling knowingly you've seen information on this.
I have heard so much about colostrum lately. It seems like it's everywhere. And it's one of those things, you know, and these things pop up and all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is the greatest thing, the greatest supplement. Everyone should be giving their pet this. I don't have experience using colostrum, but I have been reading more and more about it, and I am interested in trying it. It's probably the biggest use that I've seen for it is just helping to boost the immune system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly, I mean, that's why mother's milk is so important.
Exactly.
And for humans and other animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That colostrum milk.
Yeah.
So that's something you'll be maybe at some point be able to report on for
us. Yes, yes, definitely.
Okay. All right, thanks, Mark. Michael in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. We have a 14-year-old Bichon that has been arthritis in its front legs. We're presently giving it this tramadol periodically, or as required or as needed. My question is, would a holistic or type of medicine like the acupuncture, would that work in this instance, or would be possibly work?
Oh, definitely. If you are willing and interested in trying acupuncture, I certainly think it would be worth it. Definitely, especially just as an adjunct to the pain medication that you're giving already. It might help you get away from giving that pain medication or even decrease the dosage of that, which would be better for your dog. And it would be just a different way of, decreasing the pain, decreasing the inflammation that's associated with arthritis. Acupuncture works wonders for arthritis. That's probably the number one reason that I do acupuncture in my practice is for musculoskeletal, especially older dogs who have developed arthritis either in their back and their elbows and their knees, anywhere, and it can help in all of those places. And you know, you do a couple of treatments and you don't have to keep going back. It tends to build on itself, so you start out with a couple of treatment appointments closer together, and then you can stretch it out, and dogs do wonderfully with it.
Now, how do you work with a dog when you're giving those treatments?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about a lot of the dogs I know wouldn't sit still for it, I don't think. You must have a wonderful touch.
You know, it is always amazing to me how well animals do with acupuncture. And so many people ask me that because, you know, dogs, especially when they're going into a new place, into a vet clinic or anything like that, tend to be wound up and just have to smell everything. But it's amazing to me. Once I start with the acupuncture, and it's a slow process. I mean, it's not like they walk in and I start doing it right away. There is some discussion first, and I let them settle down and just kind of go on their own schedule and whatever they are comfortable with and start to put in the needles. And the more needles that I put in, the more they relax into it. And typically, dogs and cats will... I'll leave the needles in for about 15, 20 minutes. And as long as the owner is there and the owner is relaxed and comfortable, I find that the animal does absolutely great. So we're all in it together, you know, and we're all just kind of sitting there and talking, and it really works out well.
All right. There you have it. Annie in McHenry, Illinois. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a dog that tends to get some ear infections, and every time I've had it looked at, it's always been yeast. So I'm trying to keep ahead of it and just clean them out on a weekly basis, and I'm wondering if you have suggestions on natural remedies to do this.
The first thing that I would do would be to reevaluate your dog's diet. What kind of food are you feeding?
I believe he's on Pro. I believe he might be on Pro Plan.
Okay.
It's either Pro Plan or IAMS.
Okay.
It's IAMS.
Okay. Because one of the things that contributes to those chronic yeast infections in dogs, especially, can be a food allergy, or it's sometimes not even a food allergy, but a food hypersensitivity.
Oh.
So he might be having a reaction to something that's in that food.
Okay.
Either, you know, the corn or the wheat or maybe the protein that's in there. I think with ProPlan or with IAMS, chicken is probably the most common protein that's in that. And sometimes dogs just, they don't do well with those ingredients. So I would encourage you to try moving him towards like a grain-free food, something that doesn't have the corn or wheat in, and maybe a different type of protein.
Okay. Now, is that something I can find off the shelf, or is that something specifically at a vet, or what?
Boy, no. You know, because so many dogs are developing allergies and have these issues with ear infections, you can now find these foods really at any major pet food store carries them. If you just look for grain-free, would be the number one thing to try. And then some different protein sources like fish is not a common one that a lot of dogs get. So that might be something to try. The other thing that I would say, something that you can do right now, because the food, if you do switch the food, it takes a while for that to really get established in the system. Coconut oil is a really nice... simple remedy that's antiseptic, that's antifungal. So you can take a little dollop of coconut oil, which is solid, usually at room temperature, and just put that right in the ear. Just drop a dollop of it in the ear and kind of massage it at the base of the ear like you would do with any other ear cleaner, and then wipe out any excess.
I've seen the coconut oil, like you say, that it's solid at room temperature in the grocery store. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. And it will liquefy once it gets into the ear.
Yeah, okay. And then moving him to the diet, you said that that'll take a while. Mm-hmm. How long should I give that before I decide whether that's the way I want to go?
I would give that about 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, that long. Okay. Okay.
There you go. Thank you. Thanks, Annie. Thank you for calling. Annie from McHenry, Illinois there. And what about Annie in Janesville? What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wish my daughter lived in Wisconsin and not Colorado. I have had two dogs, and they had many different problems, so I started making their dog food. And I began using Dr. Bakarin's, that's how you pronounce it, as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started altering it and changing it through the years. And I was adding nutritional yeast, vitamin C, vitamin E, aloe vera, bone meal. And my daughter's dog has lymphoma. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to make a recipe for her. So I was telling her to add these things to the rice and chicken or turkey or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions about the things I said? Are they good things? Or do you have suggestions for other things?
But it sounds like the things that you are putting in right now are wonderful additions to a homemade diet. The other thing that I might consider adding in would be the omega-3 fatty acids or a source of fish oil or flaxseed oil. When you're designing sort of a diet for a dog that has cancer, you really want to decrease the carbohydrate content of the food and increase the protein. And the book that I mentioned previously, that home-prepared dog and cat diets, is an excellent resource for designing a diet for a dog who has a specific illness like cancer.
I will give her that book title. I wrote it down.
Okay, wonderful.
So I will tell her to get that book, and thank you for your suggestions.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling, Lori. Appreciate it, Annie. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Lori in Verona. She's next. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I was wondering, my last three pets, two cats and a dog, all got cancer, and I'm thinking it must be either, I don't know, just environmentally related, you know, to nutrition or vaccines. I'm just wondering if there's something I can do.
Or just might be bad luck.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I know. That is bad luck to have. I'm so sorry. Cancer is just on the rise in our companion animals, and you really see so much of it. And so it really makes you wonder, well, is it the food that we're feeding? Is it the toxins in the environment, the vaccines, just like what you said, and nobody really knows. But I think if you can try to, number one, feed a more natural diet, limit your pet's exposure to some of those environmental toxins or some of the chemicals, and also limit their stress level too. A lot of owners get stressed out. The dogs get stressed out. Cats get stressed out. Feeding off of us, I mean, that can definitely contribute. So all of those things, I think, can help, but I think there is also a genetic component as well, something that, you know, we just don't have the control over, but you can do the best that you can by incorporating natural things as much as you can for your pet.
There you go. Thank you so much, Lori, for calling. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. She provides an option for holistic and alternative care in addition to the basic conventional veterinary services. And she does acupuncture. She does botanical medicines, vaccines, and other wellness care, including nutritional recommendations. So always great to have her stop by, and certainly join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And I just went to The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and we've got some wonderful photos.
Oh, so cute. Wow.
From Renee and from Kathy and Briar Patch and Charlie, among others, and several questions too that we'll try to address. Many of the questions that are raised. But if you want to see some really cute dogs pictures, go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page right now. We had an email from Aaron who said, when I lived in Florida 40 years ago, we used brewer's yeast pills and sprinkled borax in furniture and carpets to keep away fleas. Does that work?
Boy, you know, that is another thing. And I don't know if I mentioned that before. Brewer's yeast, I have not used borax, but brewer's yeast and another one called diatomaceous earth is something that you can use in the environment. You can also, people will sprinkle it on their dogs. Instead of using like an essential oil spray, they'll sprinkle the brewer's yeast on their dogs, and that will help to repel fleas and ticks. And you can also put it in the food, brewer's yeast in the food, as well as garlic. Helps mm-hmm. to boost the immune system and prevent your dog from getting them in the first place.
Garlic is okay for dogs.
It is okay for dogs. Yes, yes. The controversy with garlic comes in the fact that onions, which are in the same family as garlic, can potentially be toxic to dogs. So a lot of vets will err on just on the side of caution and say, well, it's better to just stay away from everything in that onion family instead of risking. But there really haven't been any studies that have shown garlic has the same effects as onions do on dogs and cause that anemia.
I had a Facebook comment from Morris, who has a 5-year-old or 6-year-old golden retriever with a typical golden allergies. They've been giving them over-the-counter antihistamines. Are there alternatives to that? She tends to get yeast infections in her ears. We flush or use drops, Zymox. Are there preventive things we can do?
Yes, there are always things that you can do with allergies. What I use in my practice is a more natural antihistamine. Your typical antihistamines would be like Benadryl, Claritin, Zyrtec, some of those that work for some dogs, but not all dogs. Some of the natural antihistamines that I use, one of them is called quercetin, and it's a plant extract, and that stops the histamine reaction in dogs. It might not be as strong as some of the pharmaceutical grade antihistamines that you use, but that might be something to try, quercetin. The other thing, omega-3 fatty acids are really nice as natural inflammatories that can help with allergies. Some natural herbs that you can use, nettles and licorice are, and you can get those at any health food store. You can get the tea, you can get the herbal tincture. Adding in nettles or licorice can also help with dogs that have allergies.
Let's turn to Gail in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I have a 14-year-old cat that has hyperthyroidism. She's been on medication for 2 years, 5 milligrams of tapazole each day. And I've heard that they have to stay on that medicine for the rest of their life. Is there something holistically that we could do instead of a prescription?
Boy, cats with hyperthyroidism, a lot of times you will end up using something like the methimazole or the tapazole that you are using just to decrease the amount of the thyroid hormone that's circulating in the body. That being said, there are some natural remedies that you can add into that that might help you decrease the amount of the medication that you're giving. I wouldn't say you would be able to get off it completely, but you never know. And certainly some of those herbs will help your cat feel better as well. The number one supplement that I use for cats with hyperthyroidism is a product called Kidney Support Gold, and it's from a website. It's called Pet Wellbeing, and it's got a great blend of herbs in there that can really help to support the thyroid function. It doesn't block the thyroid function, but it just helps to support the gland and support the rest of the body. So you can get that by going to petwellbeing.com, and if you search for Feline Thyroid Gold is the name of the supplement.
Okay. She's also, what we've noticed is she's deaf. We just noticed that lately. That's a common thing, I guess, in older cats.
Boy, it really is. And dogs and cats, as they get older, their sense of hearing tends to go down. And what I see along with that is that their anxiety increases in a lot of older animals. And I think it's a lot of times tied into the fact that their senses are decreasing. They don't hear as well as they used to, or they might not hear at all. They can't see as well as they used to. And their anxiety levels really go up. So with the loss of hearing, there's not a lot that you can do by, you know, doing different supplements or anything like that, but just making the lifestyle changes for your cats to accommodate that.
Yeah, Okay. For vaccinations, then, for the older cat, I've kind of cut back on things, too, but rabies, I guess that is one thing they should have, huh?
Rabies is the vaccine that is required by law, so every animal is required to have the rabies vaccine. The other vaccine that's given to cats typically as part of the core vaccine protocol is the distemper or the FVRCP vaccine. So what I would recommend doing, and that's given typically once every 3 years, you can also do blood titer tests, which is you take your cat into the vet and you would have a blood sample drawn, and they would take it to the lab and test the antibody levels in that blood. So they would be able to tell if your cat really needs that vaccine or if it has immunity to the diseases that are in the vaccine itself that it protects against.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gail, for calling. We had the caller Sue in Ocano mentioned a website for dog food reviews. It was dogfoodadvisor.com. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with that, and it is a great resource, and a lot of people use that. It's got a lot of great information on that, rating the different types of dog foods. One big thing, you have to be careful with dog foods because they're bought and sold by these large companies a little bit more often than, you know, would probably be for the best. So you have to be careful. Keep an eye on the ingredients and make sure that the ingredients stay the same. If you have your pet on a certain type of pet food, always watch the ingredients because those can change and the label might not change. So you might think that you're feeding your pet the same thing, but the ingredients have changed because they might have been bought out by a larger company.
Hmm. Sherry on Facebook says, my six-month-old kitten has had problems with crystals in his urine. He was put on a prescription food for a month and now retested and the crystals cleared up. I'm wondering if there's any hope of natural food I can make to help him with this problem.
Okay, for a six-month-old kitten to have crystals in the
that's
urine.
That's really young.
That's very, very young, yes. Yeah. So I would definitely say, as far as food goes, to make sure that your cat is on a grain-free, canned, or fresh food diet. Make sure that you're not giving any of the dry kibble because you want to increase how much moisture your cat is getting. So that would be number one. A lot of times those crystals will form if the pH level in the bladder is high enough, if it's basic, if it's not as acidic as it should be. So kind of regulating the pH level. And what I use in my practice is a cranberry supplement that has cranberry in it, which will help to decrease or acidify the urine, which will prevent those crystals from forming and which will prevent bacteria from building up as well. So making sure the food is grain-free and either canned or fresh, and then adding in a cranberry supplement.
Kelsey in Milwaukee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good afternoon, good morning, I guess.
Hi.
Hi, I have a question about anal gland leakage. I have a 2-year-old, like, Minpin Terrier mix. She's a rescue. And she has anal gland leakage at the end of the day when she just kind of relaxes. I've taken her to the groomer. They've expressed her glands, and they say that they're not really that full.
Mm-hmm.
And her stool seems normal. It's pretty large for her size
mm-hmm.
and fairly firm. Firm soft, I would say pretty normal. She's on Honest Kitchen and a grain-free kibble,
mm-hmm.
so her diet's pretty good. But is there anything else I could be doing to help her with this problem? I should say help us all with this problem.
Yeah,
I know. That's not something you want to be dealing with, the anal glands. Has she had that problem ever since you've had her?
Pretty much ever since we've had her.
Okay.
And it's not that she seems to have trouble with it. It's just when she lays down and relaxes, she loses control of it.
Okay, so that might be a deeper issue than even something that you can change in the diet. I always think if there is any sort of anal gland issue, adding more fiber into the diet can help. And coconut oil or coconut flakes can be really helpful for that. Now, if she's leaking when she's lying down, that might be more of a structural thing. And that might be, especially if they're going in and they're emptying the anal glands and they're finding that they're not really that full. What I would recommend doing is not having them expressed every time you go into the groomer, because every time they do get expressed, the tissue that lines the anal sac can get inflamed because of the pressure. So that might be contributing, actually. And I would try to address it just by adding in some more fiber. And she's already on a great food. The Honest Kitchen makes dehydrated raw food. So that is excellent, and I wouldn't change that. but maybe thinking about adding in the coconut oil and decreasing how much she's getting her anal glands expressed.
Okay. I did stop having them do it when they said that they were fine.
Yeah. Okay.
She's getting a turkey Honest Kitchen mix right now because someone else had recommended that work for their dog's anal glands. Mm-hmm. And then she's getting pork. It's a pork meal kibble. Is there anything I should avoid in her food that might also contribute, or does it not matter as long as it's a good food?
Boy, sometimes dogs can have anal gland issues in relation to having an allergy to something in the food. So, but if she's getting the turkey and the pork, it's very unlikely that she would be having a reaction to those protein sources. You could always try switching the foods, switching the proteins, and seeing if that makes a difference.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I will play around with it. I've continued. Thank you, and I'll try the coconut.
Okay, all right. Great.
Appreciate your call very much. We have so many questions, and we're going to be taking a break soon here to take a look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, is the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And, boy, she provides a whole broad range of services, she has alternative care in addition to basic conventional veterinary services. She does acupuncture, she does botanical medicine, vaccines, and other wellness care, including nutritional recommendations that she's talked about quite a bit here during the show so far. Probably we'll talk about again some more as we move along. We'll take that look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guest. Thanks for listening. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. There are a lot of natural remedies for out there for our kitties and our dogs that people swear by. If you've ever had a cup of chamomile tea to relax before bed, or maybe you took some ginger to prevent car sickness, you got involved in, or maybe you put vinegar on a spot that touched stinging nettles, you're probably a little bit of a believer in the natural world as well. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, owns and it was founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic, and she has some great advice for your pet's health conditions, how they can be treated effectively and often with natural products. She has a great website. Go to fullcirclepet.com. That's fullcirclepet.com. We have it up on my Facebook page with a link. And certainly you are welcome to take a look at, and you've got lots of good stuff on that site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to get some information up there that's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have lots of callers online and lots of emails and lots of Facebook comments. We have Ray and Rhinelander been waiting a long time, so let's go to Ray. Thank you for waiting, Ray. Hi.
Hi, how are you people doing?
Very well.
Good.
And looks like spring is starting to come up here. We haven't had any 24 belows, but we had a 7 below the other night.
So that's man.
Anyways, my question is pretty simple. One is, what ingredients should one look for when they're buying canned meat for feeding a dog and their dry food? And what ratio would you say is good for an active dog, like a herder dog, of meat during the day and the dry food? Somewhere around that. And people need to look at more what ingredients they're buying when they buy these dog foods and cat foods, because there's a lot of junk out there. So with that, thank you for everything you're doing with this, and I'll listen for the answer off air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you for that question. Yes, it's so important. You will just be astounded. I sometimes at the store will go through and just look at the different types of foods that are out there, reading the ingredient labels. Boy, it's amazing, amazing. What ends up into some of these dog and cat foods that You know, we're feeding to our animals every single day, day in and day out. I would make sure that the number one ingredient is meat, not corn and not wheat and not soy. I would stay away from those things in any sort of dog food, whether it's a canned food or whether it's a dry kibble. So those would be the number one things. The other things that I would stay away from would be like when you see meat byproducts or meal. Meals, you know, they're just some rendered animal products that are classified as meal. So probably not the best thing to be feeding your pet, especially if it's higher up on the ingredient list, like number one or number two. I would stay away from that. So whole meats, on the number one, number two ingredients, that would be your biggest thing. And for a dog, I would say probably around 50 to 70% protein would be the best way to go with that, and maybe 20% carbohydrate, and the rest I would supplement with fats for that.
There we go. Becky in Lodi, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, doctor. I have a question about my 18-month-old Vishla. She sort of over the winter has developed redness on her tummy, which has very little hair, and just wondering if something like that could be allergies or if it's just the dry air. We can't really seem to make it go away, I guess.
Does it seem like she's itching or scratching at it?
Not too much. Occasionally she'll lick it, but not where she's, you know, constantly on it. She is a little more itchy since the winter months, but not, yeah, not where, like, it's a constant problem and we're constantly telling her to stop licking and scratching.
Mm-hmm. Usually when animals will develop a rash or the redness on the abdomen or even on the pads of the feet, that's a sign that there's something in the environment, something that they're coming into contact with, either when they're lying down or they're walking, that they might be having a reaction to. And she might just be having a slight hypersensitivity reaction to something that she's coming into contact with. So I would just go over everything that she might be lying on or walking on or touching and kind of reevaluate all of those things, making sure that, you know, you're washing her bedding with something that might not be irritating. A lot of the fabric softeners or detergents out there can cause a reaction. So that would be something simple to just kind of evaluate those things that she might be coming into contact with.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Becky. Nicholas in Port Washington. Hi, thanks for calling.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Oh, my question is, I had a couple yellow labs and went through four doctors. At first it was TB, then it was cancer, and then they treated the one yellow lab with an intravenous high dose of antibiotics. And it died suddenly. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I finally got back the results. It took a long time to get back some lab reports. They sent them out. That's Marty. Get the ball. There you go. And what happened was, yeah, he loved the ball, Marty and his ball. So the other two died. And, of course, it's heartbreaking, very heartbreaking. And came back as blastomycosis. So my other yellow lab, which is Marty, came down with it. And he was going lame and exhibited symptoms like that. So I was able to finally reach out, and out in Colorado there's a wellness clinic and something like yours, and it was a homeopathic remedy for antifungal, and I treated him with it. In other words, I spent over $12,000 trying to save my other two labs, but now this antifungal homeopathic remedy is working fantastic results, and I'm so pleased. Just want to give you a boost there that homeopathic remedies do work.
Wow.
I'm so happy to have discovered this, and it's so much cheaper than $12,000.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That is wonderful. Good. Good for you for seeking that out.
Well, I'm so happy. He's just running like crazy. And, oh, my God, it's nice that you can do something like that and it works. I'm so pleased.
Mm-hmm. Something so simple, like a homeopathic remedy. If you can get the right remedy, it's can work wonders. So I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you, Nicholas. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And have fun with that dog. Throw that tennis ball again. Susan in Beaver Dam. Hi, thank you for calling.
All right, no, it's good afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. I always end up rescuing animals over the last 30-some years, and they always seem to have problems.
Mm-hmm. Good
but,
for you.
Right now I've got a 12-year-old Chinese crested, and she seems very, she always gets bladder infections. And I think you kind of answered that question in one answer before with the cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the car driving, so I couldn't understand. I couldn't get it all.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and now the cranberry additive, and now does that come in pill or capsule form, or can she actually drink the juice? Because she will drink the juice.
Oh, okay. Well, she could. I mean, you can definitely add in cranberry juice. What I use in my clinic, it's a chewable treat, and it not only has cranberry in it, it also has echinacea in it, which is a wonderful herb for stimulating the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
It has marshmallow in it, which helps to calm the mucous membranes that might be inflamed in a bladder infection. And it has Oregon grape root in it, which is a wonderful antioxidant and also has antibacterial properties. So that's what I use. I don't use just cranberry by itself.
Okay. What was the name of that product?
The name of the product that I use is called Cranberry Comfort.
Cranberry Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get that?
I'm not sure if you can get that over the counter, but check it out. You might be able to.
Okay. And then, I have a comment about the diatomaceous earth.
Mm-hmm.
That works wonderful for me as far as the fleas go. Of course, my Chinese crested is hairless, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But I've got a coop full of chickens who in the winter definitely need to have dusting. They like to dust themselves, so I buy a 50-pound bag of diatomaceous earth, put it in a nice big bin, and they all jump in there, and they all fluff themselves up all winter, and I've never had any problems with lice or anything, you know, dust mites or anything like that.
Wow,
and,
great.
Then as far as the diet goes, I had a poodle that I rescued. She had her hair chewed off all the way up to her knees, and she was working on the pads and the knees both.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to veterinarian after veterinarian, and we tried prednisone and, you know, all kinds of steroids and things. And luckily, I ran into a man who hunted, and he had some leftover venison, and he gave it to me. And I cooked that up, and I gave it to her. She's been on a wild meat diet now for 2.5 years.
Cool.
And it works fine.
Mm.
I give her some Fram dog food. I buy the Fram,
mm-hmm.
and I put some of that on there, too. And so it's not strictly wild meat, and it's not strictly dog food, but that seems to have made the biggest difference in the world. She seemed to, I saw a difference within a week.
Boy, that is great news.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Love that.
So it has to be something with the diet,
mm-hmm.
and then of course I switched to the Fram, and I think the more natural the food was, the better it was. And plus, it didn't hurt, I suppose, that she went and ate one of my Benadryls. So, yeah, I was attacked by a wasp, and I get terrible reactions to it, and I dropped it on the floor, and she went and ate it. So, but that seemed to help a whole lot, too.
Oh, God.
Susan, thank you. It's a great story. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. And Mark in Sussex, turn to you next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
With dogs that are uninjured, and if they exhibit some of that licking behavior, it sounds like most of them were on needed some type of treatment. But we had an old dog, and he lost his friend, and we had moved to a different house, and he would not stop licking his paws.
Mm-hmm.
He licked the back of them raw. We tried the bitter apple and all that stuff. So finally, I started walking him a half hour or so a day.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 2 weeks, he stopped licking his paws. He just needed exercise. It's good for a lot of behavioral problems, too.
Wow. That is one that's so great, and that really kind of gets back to the holistic perspective. It's not just focusing on one single thing, but it's focusing on everything, lifestyle, and how important exercise is, and fresh air and fresh food, and all of that plays into the health status of your pet. So wonderful! I'm glad to hear that.
It was horrible. I mean, this paw literally he had licked the backs of them completely raw. And after, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks, I was a little happier, and he was much happier.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, it's a great story. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. We have Jeff in Lone Rock sent an email. Last year, we lost our 5-year-old lab to kidney failure. We do not know what caused it, but is there a homeopathic treatment for kidney problems?
Yeah, there are a number of different. Well, what I use typically for kidney problems would be herbal supplements. And the top two herbal supplements that I use for kidney issues would be, one is called Rehmannia, and that's Rehmannia. And it's actually a Chinese herb that really helps support the function of the kidneys. And the other one, it's a medicinal mushroom that's called Cordyceps. And there are a number of kidney support supplements that are out there that have those two ingredients. So I would always add those in for any animal that has kidney issues. The other big thing that I always add in would be probiotics. And I don't think I mentioned probiotics yet, but those are really important for most animals who are especially eating conventional foods, to add in the probiotics to help their digestion and help their immune system that way. But probiotics can really help animals with kidney disease as well, because it kind of takes the load off of the kidneys. They don't have to filter out as many toxins because it's being done in the gut.
Okay. That makes excellent sense. Leo in Dodgeville has a question for you. Hi, Leo.
Howdy.
Hi.
My question is about a product called Plaqueoff, Plaqueoff, that we found at one of our local suppliers here in Dodgeville.
Mm-hmm.
It's a seaweed that dissolves plaque. It creates an environment where plaque is dissolved in the mouth of both a cat or a dog. It only takes a small amount. I sprinkle it on the food because I've bled many times trying to do any kind of thing with the inside of my cat's mouth. And it just seemed like a much better way if it's effective, if there's real efficacy to it. And I've looked it up online. Some people are just swearing by it, and I didn't see anything negative about it. I was just wondering if you know anything about it.
Boy, I have not used that treatment, but it sounds like a great way to go about kind of restoring natural health in the mouth. And that's so, so important, dental disease and keeping on top of that. The seaweed, I think it sounds great. And I use quite a bit of other things like chlorophyll, spirulina, to help kind of keep the mouth healthy. So I think that sounds very, very good.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I know. I think it sounds good. And, you know, there are a lot of things out there. What I use typically for animals that have dental disease is more of an enzyme-based toothpaste or gel or spray that I also have found works very well. And the product that I use is called Vets Life, Vetzlife. And that's an enzyme-based. So that works well as well, and you can find that anywhere, and it's simple to do, but I think keeping on top of good dental health is so important.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call so much. Jackie on Facebook says, my 10-month-old lab retriever is getting spayed on Monday. Any suggestions to help her heal and recuperate easily?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. One of the best things that you can do is, it's a homeopathic remedy that's called Arnica, and that's really great for helping the body heal from any trauma. So you can find that at most health food stores. You can find Arnica. There's also a product that's called Traumeal that's made by the company Heal that also has Arnica as well as some other anti-inflammatory homeopathics in it. But Arnica is kind of seen as the natural sort of aspirin that will help with inflammation and help with healing. And you can start giving that by mouth a couple of days before the surgery and then continue for a couple of days after. And that might really help the recovery time.
Oh, that's great. We have, let's see, several things here. I'm just trying to, Dana on Facebook says, we're a vegetarian family, and I've considered feeding our 1.5-year-old dog a vegetarian diet. When we tried in the past, she seemed hungry all the time. What do you think of feeding dogs a meat-free diet? Can it be done healthfully?
Yes, that's a wonderful question, too. And I get a lot of people asking me about vegetarian diets. For dogs, it's much more doable. For cats, I would not recommend it. The cats are the obligate carnivores. For dogs, there is some room there that you can feed a vegetarian diet. You just have to make sure that they get enough protein. Using tofu, you can add that in. Using beans, I would invest in one of the book that I mentioned, The Home Prepared Dog and Cat Diets. There is also another great book that just came into print, and I'm so excited. I wanted to mention it. It's called Fresh Food and Ancient Wisdom, and it's by a veterinarian who lives in Hawaii who's just been, has a long, long history in holistic medicine and one of the forefathers of the whole movement. So, and he's got some wonderful vegetarian dog recipes and really goes into it, what you need to be making sure that you are including in the diet for your dog. And it can be done, yes.
Or even maybe partially done, too?
Partially done, yes, definitely. And, you know, a vegetarian diet is sometimes the only option for dogs who have severe allergies to a lot of the proteins that out there that are out there. So you have to. So, even if you're doing it a couple of days a week.
And here's someone who said that they really appreciate your kind and gentle voice and how reassuring to the you must be to the animals that you care for, even to the humans who love them. Well, what a nice...
thank you. That is so nice. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
We have... we're starting to run out of time here, a minute or so, well, a couple of minutes yet to go. But I did want to mention your website, fullcirclepet.com. Tell us what's on that site.
Well, the nice thing on that website I do want to mention is that you can book appointments online. Mm-hmm. So you can go through the website, click on a link, and then it'll take you to an appointment scheduler. So that's one of the main things that's nice that's on the website. It also kind of goes into my philosophy on veterinary medicine, my background, the different services that I offer. And, you know, part of a big thing of what I do also is end-of-life care and hospice care for animals. So I have a portion of the website that's also dedicated to that and kind of knowing when the end is coming and making the decision and all of that. And I do offer house calls for home euthanasia as well. And I think that will always be a part of my practice because that's such an important thing.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know my mouse died, and so I can't get us to look at other Facebook questions and comments here. But you said that you'd be willing to answer a few Facebook questions after the show.
I will definitely do that. Yes. Yeah, so if you have a question, I'll go on and answer what I can.
I know there are a few up there. And if only I could get my mouse to work, we could... We could have dealt with a few of them right now, but this has been, you know, really a wonderful day. You have such a great group of questions today.
I know. Wow. It full spectrum of questions. Really wonderful.
Well, again, thank you so much, and you'll come back and be with us again?
I will. Anytime. Yes.
And she will go online to our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and answer. I know there's a bunch of questions up there right now, and you may have one yet. She might have time to answer it, so give it a shot. Love to have her. Carrie Donahue, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. We've got our website up on my page, but it's fullcirclepet.com. That's where to go. You're going to get holistic and alternative care services, including acupuncture, botanical medicine, vaccines, and other wellness care. So great to talk with her, and we will have her back.